1 Corinthians 10, we'll read from verse 32, and we will read four verses, which means where somebody's been writing in your Bible and wrote a thing there that says chapter 11, we're going to read through that into the first verses of chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 10, 32. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example, as I follow the example of Christ. I praise you for remembering me in everything, and for holding to the teachings, just as I pass them on to you. Let's pray for a moment. Father, every time we turn to your word, we remember that it was your Spirit who gave it. And we acknowledge, Lord, that without your Spirit, we will not be able to receive it. So we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, each one, as you know our hearts, that you would speak what we need to hear today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul says, imitate me. The NIV that I read says, follow my example. That's fine. And the things that he is talking about are, of course, wonderful things. That's why I began in chapter 32. I'm sure that Paul is thinking of what he's just said, as well as what he's getting ready to say when he says it. But he says, don't cause anyone to stumble. Try to please everyone where you can. Don't seek your own good, but the good of the many, so that they may be saved. And we can only say, amen. In that, certainly we should be able to imitate Paul. I can hear somebody saying, see, Marge, every time we come here, all they talk about is getting along with Palestinians and Jews all the same. That's not going to be the message today. I want to talk about imitating, being an example, and starting with this picture of Paul. And of course, we don't have a real problem here. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate the Messiah. See, very good. So it should be. Let's turn to chapter 4, the same letter, 1 Corinthians, chapter 4. And we'll read from verse 11 to 17. 1 Corinthians 4:11. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We're in rags. We're brutally treated. We're homeless. We work hard with our hands. When we're cursed, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure it. When we're slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in the Messiah, you do not have many fathers, for in the Messiah Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Verse 16. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I'm sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in the Messiah Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Ah. Now, where he has said, imitate me as I imitate the Messiah, here he doesn't quite say that. Yes, the verse that follows says, my way of life in Christ Jesus. But he starts just saying, imitate me. And Timothy's going to come along and remind you of how Jesus lived. No, he says, Timothy's going to come and he's going to remind you how I lived. Whoa. We have a mechanism probably when we read verses like this. If we remember what he says in chapter 11, we say, well, this is what he meant. Maybe so, but it's not what he says. All right? And so I want to ask the question about what is Paul talking about and does it have anything to say to us? Paul actually talks about this in a number of places. One of the easy ones to deal with is in 2 Thessalonians. We don't need to read that there, but where he says, "When I was there with you, I worked hard with my hands, and you should be like me." Remember the example that I gave to you. You need to do that as well. For those of you who are reading along here only with Greek or with things that give you parsing and all this kind of stuff as I'm talking, be well. I just will be talking about the two words, mimeomai and tupos. If you want to know, they both words are being used, and I'm not going to relate to that again, just to say that the two things often appear together in the verses we will be reading. Now, being an example is actually something that's built into us, or following examples, more to the point. Somehow, God's creatures, not just man, but many of God's creatures, live and learn by following example. We see it in the animal world all the time, but we see it certainly in the human world. Children learn from their parents' example. In fact, I think the psychologists would tell us that children learn more from the example than they learn from the words. A parent, for example, who sees his child do something wrong and tells the child what he should do right, but tells him in anger with an explosion, what does the child learn from that experience? Actually, the child learns how to react when somebody does something you don't like. He may also learn the thing that the parent said with his mouth, but he certainly learns the behavior. It's a rather frightening thing and very sobering. We learn from example. I once noticed, when I take my glasses off, that means I'm not going to follow my notes for a second. I once noticed, I went looking actually in Scripture to see what it is that Scripture says pastors or elders should do. I need to make a distinction. Not what qualities of character they should have. We're all familiar with the passages in 1 Timothy and in Titus that say an elder or a pastor should have these characteristics, these qualities of character. All right, I'm not talking about that. I was interested if there were any things in Scripture that says this is what an elder or a pastor should do, functions. Okay, there's the thing in the pastoral epistles where it says that he should be able to teach, but there's not even a verse anywhere that says that he must teach, just be able to do so. Presumably, to know that he's able to do so, he has done it and you've observed him, but it doesn't actually require that a pastor teach. And as I looked, and I looked rather thoroughly, I actually found only two requirements of a pastor. And they both happen to come in the same verse. So it'll be easy for us to read them. It's in 1 Peter in chapter 5. You may want to come afterwards and tell me, oh, there's a lot more, and maybe there are. But again, by my definitions, this was only things that are functions and not qualities of character. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 3. I'll read from verse 2, but he says, "Be shepherds of God's flock." He's speaking to elders in verse 1. "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve." Now, verse 3 has one do and one don't. He says, "Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Two requirements. And with those requirements, a pastor can function well enough. He doesn't have to lead the singing. He doesn't have to do all the teaching. He doesn't have to do all the counseling. But he should not be the boss. He shouldn't be bossy. He shouldn't be lording over the people under him. It's the way the world does things. And he should be an example. We'll come back to that. We'll see it again in a number of places. Paul says something similar in a couple of places to Timothy and Titus, whom he has left as responsible for churches. And he tells them both, we'll come back to one of them, he tells them both that they should be an example where they are. I want to read a verse from Hebrews chapter 13, the last chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Coming in the short section of instructions at the end of Hebrews. In verse 7, the writer says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Now, I confess that for many years, that phrase bothered me. Imitate. How do you imitate somebody's faith? Faith, after all, is this abstract thing. How are you going to imitate somebody's faith? Well, you've probably... Is this why you were advertising for a new thing, Chuck? No? Oh, not for this one? Okay. The word that we translate is translated here, faith, in Greek, and its Hebrew equivalent have a dual meaning in the Bible. It means both faith and faithfulness. There is no separate word in either Greek or Hebrew for faithfulness. The word, if those of you know Hebrew, ne'emanut, that we say in Hebrew, isn't in the Hebrew Bible. It's not in the Old Testament. When you see the word emunah, very often you need to understand it as faithfulness. Right? And so when we read it also in the New Testament, there are a number of places where the word faith makes a bit of a difficulty for understanding. It's easier to understand if you would have translated it as faithfulness, which was a perfectly valid translation. And this is one of those places. He says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate the way they've hung on, the way they've been faithful. Okay? Certainly in the context of, thank you, Sasha, for going on in their way of life, their conduct, then you're going to find something that has to do with their faithfulness. And so this is what he says. But interestingly, is verse 8. Now, if you're like me, you've read this a lot of times, and you just think, okay, he's jumping from subject to subject. Verse 8, which says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, has nothing to do with the verse that just went before, and I want to suggest that it does. If we are to consider the outcome of the life of those who have the leadership over us, and we're to imitate the way they've been faithful, then we are supposed to be seeing, in fact, Jesus in their lives. It's not an accident that that verse is there, because we will, in fact, be seeing the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, as we see it in those who lead us. Okay, but he says, imitate, copy, follow their example, be like them. So far, so good. So far, this is an academic exercise. One more step in the academic exercise, and then we'll start asking some questions. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, and we'll read from verse 13. Philippians 3, 13 to 17. Similar, another one of those passages, but we'll read it. Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press onward, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in the Messiah Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." Verse 17, "Join with others in imitating me, brothers, in following my example. And take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Paul says, I want you, all these things that I've just mentioned now, I want you to imitate me. I want you to copy me. I want you to live like I do. And in case you can't remember very well, then look around you and see if there's anybody else around who's copying the way I live and watch them. Goodness, how strong can it get? It begins to sound a bit egotistical, doesn't it? It's a bit scary. Okay, well, it's going to get scarier. Now, we might ask ourselves, and I think that we have already responded, some of us, to what we've asked ourselves. Okay, Paul is an apostle. He's writing the New Testament. He can talk like that. He's in a very special situation. Sounds good. Remember, however, that he said the same thing to Timothy and Titus. We'll read the one to Timothy in just a second. He said the same thing to pastors, that they should be examples. They're not apostles. And the verse we read in Hebrews as well. Again, it's more general. It's not just follow the example, imitate, copy, mimic. The word, our word in English, mimic, comes exactly from this Greek word. Apostles. It's wider than that. Let's read one more. If I can establish that point with one more, it's in 1 Thessalonians. I have to turn two pages. 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. And I'll read from verse 4. 4 till 9. For we know, brothers, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And you also became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Okay, we'll stop there. All right. In a specific context, Paul's probably talking about something quite specific, but what interests me here is that not only does Paul say, you imitated us, using the same word, you imitated us, but then he said, you became a model for other people. They imitated you. Now, these guys were not even leaders in their congregation. This is the church general, right? And they became an example for others because of the way they behaved and the things that they had to go through. See, I'm getting down to us. It's one thing to say, Paul, imitate me. It's a little okay to say, well, the pastors need to be examples to the flock. But it turns into something else when it comes down to saying, maybe we should be able to say that. Now, I want to ask this as a question. And this is a question that came up. This whole message came up actually in a Bible study that we were doing, a home group study where we do mostly just discussing. And we were doing that this week. And the subject of copying, mimicking, imitating, following the example of came up. And we started to talk about this. And somewhere in that discussion, the question was asked, what if we would say this? What if I would not pick one of you, because I don't live with you guys, but I would pick somebody that watches me every day, a fellow believer, somebody that I live close to, and I would say, you copy everything I do. Follow my example. I want to read some verses from 1 Timothy, and then we'll come back to that thought. 1 Timothy chapter 4, this is where Paul says it to Timothy. Timothy, remember, was a young guy. Don't know how old he was, but his youth was an issue, and Paul relates to it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, from verse 12 till the end of the chapter. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which has been given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in all of these things. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. And then Paul says a strange thing. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And I'm not going to take the temptation to go off and explain what Paul's talking about here. These people are already born again. Timothy and the people he's ministering to are already born again. And yet Paul says, if you will behave in this way, you can save them. Okay? I'm not going to go there. Really, I'm not going to go there. Okay. But Paul says, be an example. Even if you're young, you can be an example to those people where you live. They should be able to watch you, and you need to be really careful how you live because they are watching you. And so I come back to the question. Is there anywhere to say, any place for us to say, you follow my example? Now, would it be arrogance or pride? Well, there's a bit of a catch-22 here. If my example is an example of Jesus, if I'm following Jesus, then of course there shouldn't be any arrogance or pride there. If I am saying it in arrogance or pride, then I'm not following Jesus. Okay? So that option is in somewhat eliminated. Some of us will say, I can't say that. You know, I have too many things wrong with me. Yeah, we do. I do. You know, as a teacher, one of the mechanisms that you develop as a teacher is the humble thing. It's, all right, now, I'm telling you about this, but I want you to know, man, I fall all the time. Boy, this is such a great mechanism for a teacher. You know, man, I just really am bad, you know, and I'm really going to be humble before you here. Okay, well, that's good. Humility is a good thing. But it's kind of a parachute. It's kind of a protection. What if instead of saying, don't do me, follow Jesus, don't follow me because I'm just a sinner, man. I just fall all the time. What would it do to me if I would say, from today, I am going to live in such a way that you follow my example? You know how scary that would be? I'm not talking about for you, for me. You know how scary that would be? Thinking that this person who's watching me all the time knows that I have made a commitment that everything I do, every word that comes out of my mouth, every reaction that I react, I am expecting them to copy it. It's scary. It is really scary. Some of us, many of us, will have read Charles Sheldon's book, In His Steps. You read it? Okay. A lot of us have read it. I was surprised to find out this week, I don't think it's been translated to Hebrew, and it's one of the classics. I should have been. Have you ever seen it in Hebrew, Chuck? You remember? It should be translated to Hebrew. Charles Sheldon was a pastor at the end of the 19th century. The book was written in 1896. I was going to ask Richard, but he left, so I won't embarrass him, but I was going to ask him if he'd ever met the man. But Sheldon describes a situation in a church, and I won't go into the details, but the situation is that he makes a commitment that he's going to take into consideration always what would Jesus do? And that phrase, which we're all familiar with now, we see the bracelets. I saw somebody this week with a WWJD bracelet on. What would Jesus do? That comes from that book written in 1896. Okay, and a group of people in his church commit themselves that they will, before they make business decisions, before they make any kind of moral decisions, family things, they will stop and they say, how would Jesus behave in this situation? And then Sheldon's book describes how it just transforms. First of all, his little town, and then it spreads. If Richard had been around, he would have known him because it spread to Chicago. In any case, it's a classic, and it's well worth the read. But this is what I'm talking about. What would it do to us? What would it do to me, first of all, if I said, I, from this day, determined to live in such a way that I could say to you, follow my example. And I'm going to say this to you and ask you that where you think I am not putting an example up that I should, I want you to tell me. Boy, would that make me vulnerable. I am going to lose all the arguments now. You know, if I said this to my wife and we had some disagreement about everything, if by saying this ahead of time, I know that I've given her a weapon. Now, hopefully she won't use it as a weapon. But it makes me suddenly have to change my behavior and totally. Okay. What would Jesus do in that situation? Can we make that commitment? I'm not saying that we have to say to people, follow my example. Some of us may still be bothered by that and think, no, we just need to follow Jesus' example. But you saw how many places we read where the two things go together. Following Jesus' example means you should be able to say, follow my example, if I'm really following Jesus' example. But I would like us at least to consider, could I live a life where I should be able to say that? Where I should be able to say, follow my example. Just as Paul does. Paul doesn't hesitate, and maybe this is what he was doing. If you're serious in making this kind of step, then pick somebody out. Somebody who knows you well. Not a neighbor who sees you once a week. But somebody who sees you all the time. And speak it out. Tell this person, I want to make this commitment, and I want to be an example, and I want you to tell me when I'm not. Try to avoid the safe person, okay, the person who's going to be really nice and only tell you nice things, because it won't work very well. And may the Lord help us. Father, these are big things. This is too big. But Lord, we want to live so much like you that people will see you in us. Lord, we want to be people who can say that and could commit ourselves that what we say and what we do reflects Jesus in everything. And we give you the praise and the glory, Father. Amen.